You would have seen a haggard man looking exhausted, covered in bruises, dripping sweat and blood. A crudely formed crown of thorns pressed down on his forehead. You would have seen a man gasping for air. A man struggling to stay alive. You would see a man wincing in pain in his arms and his legs, nailed to that cross. You'd have seen drop after drop of blood drip to the ground. Each drop, one closer to his ultimate death. If you didn't know who this man was, maybe you would have been a little misled by the cruel joke that the Roman soldiers played on him. With that fake crown upon his head, the sign above him proclaiming him the King of the Jews. What a sad and pathetic sight that you would have seen. What a terrible tragedy that you would have witnessed. That's only the tip of the iceberg, isn't it? We've been reading about that today. We've been reading about the physical suffering that Christ went through. He'd not slept in at least a day. He'd spent the night before in the garden, in agony, in sorrow, in grief, crying out to his heavenly Father, because what else could he do? He probably hadn't eaten dinner since the night before with his disciples. He was terribly thirsty. He even cries out in the Gospel of John for a drink. He was beaten by Roman soldiers, not men like you or I, but men who are trained to torture and cause pain. He was scourged, which means he was beaten with a whip upon his back until he bled. His body was broken down. He knew physical suffering, but that wasn't the extent of it. He knew a deep emotional and mental suffering, mental pain as well. The grief in the garden of knowing that this was inevitable. Knowing that this would not be avoided. Knowing that it would take place. We see the suffering that he goes through of standing before that mock trial of the chief priests. With everything that they say being wrong, being a lie, being untrue, and him standing there and saying nothing. Keeping his mouth shut at a time when I don't know that I could. We see them spitting on him, slapping him in the face. Now, certainly this didn't hurt like some of the other physical suffering he had, but what an insult. That those whom he came to save would not receive his salvation, but instead treated him as if he was a joke, as if he was nothing. He's questioned by Pilate. We hear more of this in the Gospel of John. You can hear the tone of Pilate's voice, I think. The disgust that he has for this common peasant of this land that was just trouble for him. This man who meant nothing to him. As he hangs upon that cross in this terrible physical pain, he is mocked. There's no one there to encourage him. There's no one there to say, thank you, Christ, for what you're doing. He is mocked by the priests who walk by the crowds who walk by, even by those who are suffering the same fate as him. He is much worse off in their eyes, and so he is worthy of shame and ridicule. Get down off the cross, some of those who pass by say. You know what makes that sting even harder? It's because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, could do that. He could have called down his legions of angels to set this great injustice right, and he doesn't. He's not powerless in that moment, but he embraces humility in that moment. And even his faithful followers, the 12, even they're long gone by this point. Were it not for these women watching at a distance, Jesus would truly be alone from those who had followed him for those 3 years. But perhaps the greatest suffering of all, no, not perhaps, certainly the greatest suffering of all was the spiritual pain that he felt. Jesus Christ is God the Son enfleshed. God the Son who has shared a perfect, deep, powerful intimacy with God the Father and God the Spirit from all eternity and to all eternity. You would think in that moment when he is at his most weakest, he could cry out, certainly to his heavenly Father. And yet in that moment, he wasn't there. In that moment, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why am I all alone? Jesus Christ, the great God-man, suffered in all of these ways. And yet we have the audacity to call this Good Friday. We have the boldness to decorate our church with crosses. Maybe even wear a cross around your neck. How can something so terrible be something that we adopt? And we say that this marks us. This is who we are. Well, perhaps the words of some of our forefathers who wrote the Belgic Confession, perhaps this would shine some light onto what we're seeing in the midst of a man broken and beaten on this cross. It says, as it describes the atonement, "We believe that Jesus Christ is a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, made such by an oath, and that he presented himself in our name before his Father to appease his Father's wrath with full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood for the cleansing of our sins, as the prophets had predicted. For it is written that the punishment that made us whole was placed on the Son of God, and that by his bruises we are healed. He was like a lamb that is led to the slaughter. He was numbered with the transgressors and condemned as a criminal by Pontius Pilate, though Pilate had declared that he was innocent. So Christ paid back what he had not stolen. And he suffered, the righteous for the unrighteous, in both his body and his soul, in such a way that when he sensed the horrible punishment required by our sins, his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And he endured all this for the forgiveness of our sins. He endured all this for the forgiveness of our sins. Therefore, we rightly say with Paul that we know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. We regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. We find all comforts in his wounds, and have no need to seek or invent any other means to reconcile ourselves with God than this one and only sacrifice, once made, which renders believers perfect forever. This is why the angel of God told us to call him Jesus, because he would save his people from their sins. Brothers and sisters, it is right to feel a grief as we contemplate the great suffering of our dear Lord. It's right to be shocked and appalled to know that this perfect man was dealt with so brutally. But amid this grief, there is good. Amid this grief, we see that our Heavenly Father loved us so dearly that He did not withhold His Son. We see that our Lord Jesus loved us so dearly that He did not withhold His life. Brothers and sisters, we see that the Holy Spirit loves us so dearly that though Christ gave up His life, He has now given us new life. What was meant for evil, the destruction of Jesus Christ, God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people would be given life eternal with Him forever. Brothers and sisters, on this, the most grievous of days, it is a good day for those who are in Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, what can we say as we contemplate the depths of suffering that Christ endured? What can we say as we consider that He did all these things not because He rightly deserved them, but because we did? Lord, what can we say when we consider the cost that it took to deliver us? But Lord, thank You. Lord, we love You because You first loved us in this amazing way. Lord, we even lift these prayers up because of Jesus and what He has done for us. Amen.